Genesis chapter 12. We're going to talk about Abraham's altar. We've been considering the past few months all about prayer, and this is the time that we want to see how something special when it comes to prayer is mentioned in the Bible. I'll read you, first of all, a reference, two things that have happened before we come to Abraham and his altar. Abraham is not the first one who built an altar, and Abraham is not the first man who called upon the name of the Lord. Because I told you in weeks past that in Genesis 4, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And we're going to read about Abraham's altars, but listen to this. It says that when Noah came out of the ark after the flood, it says he built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seedtime and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So this is the first reference to an altar being made. And that was after the deluge, when the whole earth has been destroyed. Think of this now. And just Noah and his sons and wives, they come forth. And now, here is the world, in its majority, worshiping God. And the next we read about an altar, we have to wait ever so long a time. There may have been other altars, but they're not recorded. So let's read now in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And so this is what he did. But it says in verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. That's excellent. God told them to go. They started out to go, and they got there. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Thank God for a successful arrival to the destination that God had told them about. Now, look at verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth be an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Look at this. God had spoken to him, but it says specifically that God appeared to him at Shechem. And to memorialize this, it says that Abram built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Let me mention something now. I may not read it to you later. But there is not only the building of altars, but there is the building of pillars. Now, a pillar is not the same as an altar. The meaning of the word altar, both in the Old and New Testament, is a place of slaughter. It's not always used for that, but it is there, a place of slaughter. And so here, we are not told that Abraham offered anything upon that altar, but we are told in commemoration of God appearing to him Abraham built an altar. Now, that was in Shechem, look at verse 8. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, he had not only the building of an altar as a memorial for God's appearing to him, but now he builds another altar for the purpose of calling on the name of the Lord. Alright, let's look at chapter 13 now. I want to go over these and then come back and tell you some more about them. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. What is so sad is that Abram, look at verse 10 first of all, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. So much trouble he got into. He endangered the lives of those that were in Egypt, and all the time that he had left the place of his altar and gone to Egypt, he read nothing at all about altars. But thank God, look at verse 1 now in chapter 13. That was in chapter 12 if I didn't say it. 13:1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also, who went with Abram, at Lot's conversion and tent. Now, get this, I want to expand it in a little while, God willing. But as Abram moved from place to place, there was nothing wrong. Until you go to a place that it was not God's intention for you to go there. At times, it is God's intention for his people to go into Egypt. That's why he sent Joseph ahead of Jacob, his father, to prepare a place for them in Egypt, and God came and personally told Jacob that it was all right for him to go down into Egypt, and it was in his will for him to go down. But if God never sent us to a place like Egypt, and we go there out of the promised land, then trouble is going to occur, and that's what happened. But what is such a consolation is this, that we left the altar, but in verse 4, it says that Abram came to the place of the altar which he had made at first, and Abram called on the name of the Lord. So he left the place of the altar, he went to Egypt, and there was trouble, broken communion, danger to the lives of those with whom he was sojourning, and so finally he comes back, and he returns to the place where he had communion with God. And now, when he's back at that altar, it says he called on the name of the Lord. Now, one other thing, and I want to expand on this too, I just want to get them all together. Look at verse 7. Lot is wealthy, the nephew of Abram, and Abram is wealthy, and this is what happened. Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Why? Too many cattle, too narrow a place for them to pasture. And it says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, look at the graciousness of this, his uncle saying to him, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me.
If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. But if thou take the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, like the pardon of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as a work of the Zohar. So Lot chose them all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot turned the east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. Now, this had happened, they are separated. In verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, quickly to verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. They found it, verse 11, they separated themselves. Now verse 14, after Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes, and look to the face further off, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, is evil like it is, and to thy food forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that the land can number the dust of the earth. Then may thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for unto thee will I give it. And Abram moved his tent, and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in heaven, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So, these are some of the adventures. I will read you a little more perhaps later. But these are the adventures of Abram. And let's take now from comparing these portions that I've read, the development, the growth, in the life of Abram, the son of God. It would be a good thing if as soon as we were saved, we were mature, we knew the word of God, we were perfectly in the will of God. But what happens is that most of the time, we have to learn. You think of your past life, you think of your life after you got saved, and when you do get saved, then you have to start thinking of the development, the progress in your life. Now, I know this. If you look at my life, and if you ask, have you ever built any altars? The answer is yes. Because there is the building of a physical altar, but it represents something spiritual. Because a man can go and build an altar out of earth or of stone and go through the motions, but if his heart isn't right, it is meaningless. God doesn't accept it. But if there is reality, if there is truth like this, it said that when God appeared unto Abram, Abram built an altar unto the Lord. And I can tell you that I built my first altar. It wasn't made out of earth or stone, but it's there, and I don't even know if the place still exists. Because it was March 27, 1946. At my time, the Lord spiritually, not literally, as we did to Abram, but spiritually he appeared to me. He told me that I was a sinner, that Christ was the Savior, and I needed to be born again. And I said, yes, Lord. And so there is the place, and I can remember the spot, prayer, and trust in Christ as my Savior. And that is the first time that ever in sincerity, with understanding, with the light of God, I called on the name of the Lord. And I told people about that altar since the time I was saved. The first person I witnessed to was within the same period of time in which I was saved. I remember it. It is so funny now that I think about it. A fellow named Leroy Cooley was witnessed to me. So good choir. And he'd been talking to me about salvation. And so after I accepted Christ the Savior, the next morning, I saw him coming and I said, Brother Truman? He said, Mills, are you saved? And I said, oh, man. And so this was the first time I had confessed to anyone that I'd been born be able to look back, when you were in the past, again, between you and your Heavenly Father, when you started praying to your Heavenly Father. It's a good thing that you have a memorial of that. And you never forgot it, and I told you I had heard of it. But what happened is this. I leave California, and I come back to North Carolina. Now what happens is this. Sometimes when we're around 6 and 3, in one place, we can go on to the Lord. But when you come back home, to people that are unsaved, that have known you your whole life long, then, if you decide to build an altar again to God, they are going to notice. I designed myself the first time an altar was built. But when I came back and started doing the church and praying and witnessing, when all these things happened, they knew that there was an altar and they knew that I had communion with God. And that is more difficult. But this is what Abram did. Remember, when God appeared to him in Shechem, he built an altar there. It just says, he built an altar so that the memorial as to the time when God appeared to him the first time in his life. And then the second time, it says, he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. And for a time, it is no longer being able to point out to where you built an altar for the first time. Thank God, that's the most important thing. For you do have a place, which you know that God appears to you, and you trusted this son as your Savior. But when you have left that place, and you've gone among different people, and then you build an altar, and then your life changes, and you start calling upon the Lord. It's not only the Lord appearing to you and manifesting himself to you, but now you are speaking to the Lord. You are communing with him. That also is what an altar represents. It is a sense of communion between you and God, and God not only appears to you, but you appear in the presence of God, and you worship God. And so this is what I would ask. At one time, you lived in a certain part of the country, a certain part of the world. Did you have an altar then? And if you did, when you moved, did you build another altar? Because the altars are left in the place where they're built. They remain there. We'll see this in a minute. But in the case of Abram, wherever he went, he always was building altars except when he went down into Egypt. I'm thinking this, how empty it would be to build an altar if you go to a place and you're not certain it's God's will for you to be there. And when you go down, you have to say to your wife, now look, you're a beautiful woman, and when they get into Egypt, the men will want you, and they will kill you and save you alive. You tell them that you're my sister. So tell me, there's those thoughts in your heart. But that perception, that high perception, do you think you could go down and build an altar and commune with God? Would that not be in the back of your mind all along that your heart isn't right, that you're not trusting God, that you must endanger your wife? Because if you tell them that she's your sister and not your wife, there's no reason for the man who wants her not to go and make a purchase to her. But what happens with this? When he goes down into Egypt, he will search and he will not find that it is an altar mentioned there. And what happens is this. Many times, when God tells us, we're saved, we go to Shechem, and we go to Bethel, we go to all of these various places, and no matter where we are, if it's not contrary to God's will, we can build an altar and we can call upon the name of the Lord. But what happens is if you get out of the will of God, and you move to a place where God is not, then there are no altars. If there is union, it's like Jacob. This is what is so sad. Who is Jacob? And at times, he's compelled to call upon the name of the false Christ, because he's coming back home and he's afraid his brother Esau is going to kill him, and so he's praying to God. How different then of peace, the purity, and truth in your heart, you can build an altar. You can commune with God. Nothing can be. But through with Abram and down in Egypt, and he tells me if you ever read of any author that we don't know. But what is so good, and this is the truth that it contains, even if you have endangered the morality of your wife, even though you've been away from God, and you have this profession, thank God, you can come back to the altar that you built earlier, as it says, look now in chapter 13, verse 4. He came unto the place of the altar, settled, prayer, at the first he built the altar. Now that's beautiful. It says, he restored my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God for that. But he who is your shepherd also restores your soul. It says, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Abram comes back again to settle where the altar was at first. And it says, there Abram calls in the name of the Lord. One of the happiest moments in a man's life is when you have a word from God and you confess his sin and he comes back to God. Why? Because then he can call on the name of the Lord with sincerity. He can thank God for keeping him from destruction and preserving his wife while he was in Egypt. And now he can thank God that there is nothing that stands between him and fellowship with God. And the altar that he built before, it reminds him of an earlier portion of his life when he was in communion with God. It was broken by going into Egypt, but now he's back in the promised land, he's there and all it is. And this comes to mind. I'm so sad when I think of people not necessarily having to go, but they say, yes, I want a job, I want to be transferred. And whenever you make a move, the first thing you should think of is this. Where I'm going, are there altars there? Is there an altar there? And if not, when I go there, am I prepared to build an altar? I know some who have known the truth of gathering to the name of the Lord, and they're ready to go. And I ask, where are you going? And they mention some strange town, and I say, so, where are you going to fellowship there? Well, I don't know. Or when we go there, we'll probably find some place that we can go. If that happens, you'll find that many times, the period of your life, where there's no altar, where there's no Christians with whom you can commune and grow, you'll find that there is a period of your life, and it's like being down in Egypt. And so, consider those things. Because, if you have a chance of conversion, if you have a chance for enrichment, but at the same time, God is not in it, then you go. You haven't gained. You see, this is what happens. And Abram had learned by going into Egypt. When he comes back, he's a rich man, he's got cattle, and cattle need a lot of room to graze. And his nephew Lot is with him, and he says to him to show that it makes no difference to him. He says, let there be no contention between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. You are right. He said, now look over the land, and he said, you want to go, you take it. Much less. Okay. That is a wonderful attitude towards your fellow man and towards God. Because most of us, if you have an opportunity to take the best, we'll take the best and leave the worst to someone else. But Abraham is willing to let the other man take what he wanted. And he took, humanly speaking, what was the best and left the rest to Abraham. Let me tell you something. And it just happened yesterday. I brought back some apples from the mountain, and there's one down at the post office that I know, and so I said, I'm going to pick out a beautiful yellow apple and put it through, because he's been so kind to it. But then I remembered, I said, there are two more folks, I've just taken three apples. And so I took in a big, beautiful one to him, and two others that were good apples, but not as good. And so I took him through and I said, here is something for you. I said, bring me pig nails from now on. And I said, "Now, don't you just have an apple?" And he said, "One to look at the bird." He said, "Yes." So the bird said, "Who gave this?" And so I told him it was in the mail as well. But this is what I saw. So he had the three apples before him, and the other bird knew nothing about it. And he took the best apple and gave it to the female bird, and the next best apple he gave to the male bird. And I looked, and he had the smallest, good apple. Three. Isn't that remarkable? I think I'm going to take him some more apples and say, "These are all for you because of the decision that you made." Because it is certainly just that. Because I think I would secretly look at that apple and say, "Oh, God, it's so beautiful." And I would put it behind a paper or a stack of books or something and take them to others because they would never have known. And in this case, Abraham gave his nephew Lot the chance. And lost it the very best. But what happened? Let me show you what happens when you take the best of the world, and what happens when you let your brother take the best and take what's left. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. And he said, "I'm going to give you everything." And verse 18 and 13. And Abram moved his tent, and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So think of this. Here is an altar that you build to the Lord after you separate it from your kinfolk that are carnally inclined, because here is Lot, and I told you about finding out where you're going. Is there an altar there? I assure you that there is no altar in Sodom and Gomorrah, by the very words today, suggest the same thing that they did thousands of years ago. And yet Lot said, "That is the place for me to increase my wealth and to fatten my cattle." And yet, in the place of Abram, he was able to build an altar. But Lot was never able to build an altar in Sodom, any more than Abram was able to build an altar when he was away from God in the land of Egypt. So think on these things, and in the will of God, we shall see more as to what happened when these sacrifices were made. So think of this now, that there was a time when Abraham was an idolater with his father beyond the river, and God called him, and then he walked with God, and finally God appears to him, and he starts building altars, and then he builds an altar, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. But even though you've made progress that far, it doesn't mean that automatically you're going on. After you commune with God and pray to God, there was a famine in the land, and that is the temptation. When there was a famine, to go at all costs for his food, as if God could not provide for you in the land when there was a famine. But this is what happened. And so he goes, and he comes to the senses, and he comes back to where the altar was. Remember, you're not going to save your soul, but he restores your soul. And having been in Egypt, he has experienced what it is to be away from God. And so he offers his nephew, Lot, the best choice, and he takes it. But even though he's lost the best, humanly speaking, you'll find that he's chosen the best, because there's no altar in Sodom. That where Abram is, he can build an altar. So by all means, maintain that altar, that place of communion, and fellowship, and prayer, and worship of God. Now, come on, let's pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for all the lessons you teach us. We're glad, our God, that you tell us about memorials. Father, know that we sing songs when people have birthdays. And it's a say to you, only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? So we are thankful, our God, that we can take upon our lives. Whether we've been born again, and if after being born again, we built that first altar, and then we built that second altar, and then we can restore and come back to the altar that we left because of the famine in the land. Our God, there's so many experiences that we have to learn. So help us, our God, to be like Abraham, to be the friend of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.